that I hope the Lord may be pleased to help me speak from. You'll find in the first chapter, first epistle of Peter, verse 7. The seventh verse, the first chapter, first epistle of Peter, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It is a very solemn work that we read. All men have not faith. And as faith is the gift of God, we realize our utter dependence upon God for the least grain of it. But I have often said, and I say so again, if we have real faith, it will be tried. In fact, the very trial of faith is that which will prove it to be genuine, God-given, and it will stand the test, whatever test is put upon it. So we have here before us this evening for our consideration, in the first place, the trial of faith. And then we have, secondly, the great value that is put upon it. Not just merely and alone, because Peter was led to write it, but it is among the all scripture that is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And what a mercy, my friends, if our consideration of this particular passage of Scripture shall be profitable to us, and that we might have the sweet realization as we consider these things, that we are among those who are in possession of living faith. How beautifully does James, in the last chapter of his epistle, speak of it, when, as I have noticed it here above the chapter we read, he speaks of the prayer of faith. And how often we come into those spots and places in our experience where the Lord does try our faith. In that respect, he brings affliction to lay upon the loins of those that are near and dear to us, and some not very old, and how we need the Lord to give us that prayer of faith that shall save the sick, and to know that yet as at other times the Lord will raise them up, and if they have committed sins, forgive them. The trial of your faith. And the value of it is here set, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. If you and I have this faith of God's elect, we have something within us which is imperishable. It cannot perish. It is something that will like love, it will live. Yea, as the poet speaks of faith, lives and labours under load, though damned, it never dies. What a wonderful blessing, my friends. And if you and I have a grain of living faith, we shall often be coming to the Lord, as did the apostles in the days of his flesh when he was with them, and they came to him. I noticed on the current calendar of the day in a friend's house where I had my day meal, that word where Christ said, have faith in God. And if you and I have faith in God, we shall often be coming to him with that prayer, Lord, increase our faith. And I often speak of that as by way of encouragement to the Lord's people, and tell them that if they ever pray that prayer, it is a proof, an unmistakable proof, that they already have received faith. Because you can't have a thing increased that you have not already got. If you've ever asked the Lord to increase faith, you have a proof beyond all doubt that you have faith. Although you may be tempted many times that you have not faith. I remember once in particular, some little time ago now, I was visiting one of my own members, and I happened to mention something about faith to her, and she just quietly said, but not wishful thinking. And you know, Satan took hold of that. Oh, he made it like a dagger, like an arrow in my heart. And I went home feeling to be very, very low indeed. But that very circumstance was the means that God used to furnish me with a subject the next time I had to stand up in the Lord's name. And that's often how the Lord works, by things that to us are most opposite. Things that we wouldn't dream of are working, as we said last evening at Matcham, working together for good. So it was on that occasion, for I was favored to preach from those words in James, faith without works is dead. And if you and I have living faith, my friends, there will be that desire in our hearts that faith shall be seen as, does he not say, you show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. And does he not say, was not the harlot Rahab justified by works when she had received the spies with peace? And so we might go on speaking of faith, but not only is the faith precious and more precious than of gold that perishes, but the very trial of it is. So you have, so to speak, two things that are most precious, the faith itself and the trial of it. And you will prove sometimes how precious that faith is and how precious the trial of it is. And this faith is, as Peter says here, tied with fire. I made a remark in the early days of my pastorate that one of my members often reminds me of. I said this, the Lord knows how long to keep you in the furnace. And how long is that? Until he sees his own image. And that is so with the natural fire, the fire that is, that the precious metal is put in. The goldsmith, he will watch that metal, and when he can see his own image in the metal, then that is thoroughly and truly purged and purified. And so it is with the pile of hay. Tried with fire. And the end and God's way and purpose in all this is that it might be found unto praise. Can we not go back in our spirits this evening, my friend? And remember those times when those very things that we thought and Satan was ready to suggest that they would be our undoing have been the very things that have established us, brought us to a more gracious understanding of God's dealings, as it was in the case of dear old Job. Ah, dear man, he says, changes and war are facing. But you know, he was brought out, wasn't he? He was brought through. Many vicissitudes, many were his losses, many his crosses, many his triumphs. But he says this, oh, how beautiful is the language of Job when he was tried with fire. He says, I look backwards into the past, can't see him. He wanted to see his Lord. He wanted to see his God. He says, I look on the right hand and on the left hand where he doth work in providence and in grace. I cannot behold him. But I've often said, you know, that there was one more place for Job to look. He may look back, you and I may look back and can't see him. We may look forward and can't see him. We may look on the right hand and not see him. We may look on the left hand and not see him. But where shall we see him? In the same place that Job saw him. When Job looked up, then he could say this. And have you and I not been able to say so sometimes? But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth with gold. And he did come forth with gold, didn't he? I've often thought of Job. When dear Job was instructed of his God to offer sacrifice for his friends. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he cried for his friends. And there will be times when you and I will have to thus cry for our friends. I remember a day in particular when I had to cry for my friends. Those friends were acting more like enemies to me. But I just had to bring them to the throne of grace. Commit the whole thing unto the Lord and trust also in him. And I have lived to prove the truth of that word. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light and thy judgment as a noonday. And what a wonderful thing it is when a man's ways please the Lord. He may please it. And our ways do not please the Lord only as he causes them to please him. Only as he puts his blessed fear in their hearts. That fear of God, which is an unctuous light to all that is right, and a bar to all that is wrong. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise. The Lord has said concerning his people, as they are mentioned before us here in this chapter, they're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. They're a sanctified people. They're an obedient people. They're a washed people. Oh, what a blessed people they are. Can you say, can I say this evening with their numbers when I be now and dear Ruth, you know, she was one of these people. It matter not how much Naomi sought to turn Ruth away, and even tell her that her sister-in-law had gone back. Why didn't she do the same? Oh, she says, do you say it? Can you say it, my friend? As you feel such a love and a union toward the Lord's people, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to cease from following after thee. Whither thou goest, I will go. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Nought shall part us. And you won't be parted either. Now that obviously that. Oh, if there's that desire, as was found in the heart of Ruth, rather than being parted from them, you'll come closer to them. That was what the Lord's mind, will, and purpose was in the case of Ruth. Little did she think when she went out that first morning to glean in the field of Boaz that presently she was to become Boaz's wife. And can you and I not say sometime, Jesus, my Boaz is gospel field, the place where I am gleaning now. Praise and honor. Yes, the Lord will be honored, the Lord will be glorified in the trial of faith, whatever it may be, whatever way in which the Lord may be trying us and testing us and bringing us into various things, even as also James says, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. But the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Have we not proved it to be so, my friend? I have thought recently of what I have said sometimes, and it was brought rather vividly to my mind only yesterday, where we think and read and meditate of the Lord Jesus Christ being crowned with a crown of thorns. Why was it? Was it not so that you and I were crowned with loving kindness and tender mercy? What a different crown he places upon the head of his people that was placed upon him. Although there will be time when we shall know what it is to suffer with him. And if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. No cross, no crown, no trial, no deliverance. Where there's the trial, there will be sure to be the deliverance. Where there's the trial of faith, there will be the deliverance from that trial, being brought through to his honor and his glory. It is all for his glory, my friend, that his people pass through the fire. Wherefore, glorify God in the fires. This people, he says, have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. And we cannot but praise him when he sees fit to deliver us. And there will be times when, even in the midst of the fire, we shall praise him. We shall be brought to those spots and places where we feel we would not have one thing offered. Oh, what a wonderful blessing is sanctified affliction. That which weans us from earth and earthly things, weans us from ourselves, weans us from those near and dear to us. And we have to say sometime with the psalmist, my soul is even as a weaned child. child that is weaned. It's very painful work, is weaning. But God knows how to do it, my friend. He knows how to do it. And you do it most effectively. You do it in such a way as you will even rejoice in that weaning. And this praise and honor and glory will be at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Surely it is as though Peter would say, well, now you now see him not. You cannot see him. You're like Job. You cannot behold him. But presently when you see him, when you behold him, when you realize that he is looking on all the time, and he shows you himself, as his disciples, when he showed them his hands and his side, then, my friends, there will be praise, there will be honor, there will be glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure Peter knew something what he was speaking about. The epistles of Peter are not mere theory. These epistles of Peter, my friends, were the result of the fire. The Lord had said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. What a wonderful thing for Peter it was that he not only said that to him, he coupled something else with it. One of the greatest blessings, my friends, that any poor sinner can be brought to know, and that is, I have prayed for thee. I sometimes feel delight in remembering I had praying parents and knowing now that I am the subject of the prayers of God's people, my own church, and the other little churches where I minister. But my friends, wow, that is so great, and we would desire to esteem it a great blessing. But oh, the great blessing of having the prayer of Christ. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And when we read the word all in God's word, it means all, doesn't it? It means some, just some of you. All points. Whatever way you and I may be tempted and tried, the Lord Jesus Christ was too. Are you tempted? He was too. Deserted? Yes. He was deserted. His disciples forsook him and fled. He told them they would. He says, all ye shall depart and leave me alone. But he says, I'm not alone. And that's a great blessing, that these tried and tempted people, these people that know what the trial of faith is, there will be times when they realize, however much alone they are, they're not alone, because the Father is with them. The Father is with him. What a word is that word, Father? No sweeter word, especially if you can look up and say, as Christ has commanded us to, when you pray, say, Our Father. Blessed word. I know oftentimes the experience of the Lord's people is very blessedly described by one who said, My God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine, may I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. But this is how it will be brought to pass, by knowing what it is to go into the fire, and also to know the flame should not hurt you. He only designs your dross to consume, your gold to refine. When you come into a fresh temptation, or a fresh affliction, or some bereavement, how at first you might fear lest, and Satan will be ready to tempt you, that it's going to consume you. But you live to prove that it's only the dross, only that what at which you will be well rid of, you'll be bettered by being rid of it. So the Lord knows how to purge away, as he says, I will truly purge away thy dross and take away all thy tears. And this will be held to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Well, now shall we look further a little at the trial of your faith. This is not a word which will be received in any way by those who do not understand something about it. The apostle was helped to write concerning faith to the Hebrews, and what a wonderful description in a very few words he gives of it. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if faith is in your heart, my friends, it will enable you sometimes to believe that which to you and to others around you is quite impossible. As it was in the case of Abraham, was it not? Who is spoken of as the father of the faithful. And the Lord appears to him. He says, now take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. I believe Abraham would have willingly taken Ishmael, but the Lord says it must be Isaac. He's the one you must take and offer up in the mount, which I will tell thee of. And what a trying time it was to Abraham as he was going up the hill and his son Isaac goes up with him, and presently he says, Father, he says, behold the wood and the fire. But the most important thing is missing as far as I could see. Where is the lad? Isaac knew well that there could be no acceptable sacrifice without a lamb. And so Abraham was given the answer. That was faith, was it not? God shall provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice. The Lord had already instructed Abram what he must do. But he goes on up the hill. That's a very blessed hymn we used to sing concerning it at Cranbrook years ago. See Abram walking up the hill, and Isaac fondling by him still and prattling in his ear. At length the lovely child is bound, the hand is stretched, the knife is found, and then the Lord appears. The trial of faith. Abram, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Now I know that thou fearest me, in that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. I had a great trial in my own self and in my own church relative to my own dear son going out to preach. But no easy matter. 7 years we waded through that trial of faith before it actually was accomplished. But I shall never forget how I felt afterwards. The Lord, I believe, gave me those words to help me in that we had sent forth one into the midst. Now I know thou fearest me, in that thou hast not withheld thy son from me. What a great blessing. These things are still up to date, my friends. Some people speak of the Word of God and the ways of God as being old-fashioned, and so they are, but they're just as up to date. And the Lord will make them up to date in your experience and mine. We should have to walk by faith and not by sight. And as we walk that pathway of faith, we are like the beloved we read of coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon him. And you never lean too hard upon him. And he is almighty to save and to direct and to uphold and to strengthen and to bring you through. Yes, he will bring his people through the trial of your faith. A God-given faith. And what he gives, he will not ask back. Something he gives. He has given his well-beloved Son, we read last evening in that 8th of Romans, that if he has not withheld his Son, then all things are given to us. Will he not freely give unto you all things? All things that are necessary, all things that will be for our soul good and profit, and all things that will be for his honor and for his glory. As the apostle says, all is yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. The trial of your faith. We may often feel, as we do at times, our faith is feeble. We confess, we faintly trust his word, but does he pity us the less? Did he pity that dear man the less when he cried out, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief? Oh, he attended to that case, and many that came to him in the days of his flesh, how often he would say to them, according to your faith, be it unto you. Faith is a wonderful thing, my friend. A wonderful person. A thing that we do not realize the value of. And yet, it is valuable. And the trial of it is much more precious than a gold. However much gold we may possess, and we need it, we need that which will help us in our journey through life to do those things that are right before God and to our fellow creatures. But you know, my friends, this precious faith, it's something more precious than of gold. Gold perishes. Riches take to themselves wings and fly away. But this will never take to itself wings and fly away. The only way it will be worked out in the experience of the Lord's people, faith will to bliss give place in sight we hope shall lose. Now what a wonderful blessing this is. Faith in the bleeding Lamb. Oh, what a gift is this. Hope of salvation in his name. How comfortable it is. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes. Here is something that is imperishable. No time can alter it. No age can make it. It is like the giver. It will remain. And while there is faith, surely there is also hope. and love. And we know that whilst presently we shall not need faith, but love shall still remain, nor can its glory cease. No other change shall that sustain, save only to increase. And these three things go together, faith, hope, and love. Where you have faith and the trial of faith, there will always be that hope which hopes against hope. Be like Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. And however dark, however distressing, however distracting, however impossible things may appear to be to our carnal mind and our natural reasoning, and even to those around us, the Lord will see to it that faith shall live. It's living faith. It isn't a dead thing. Faith is a living principle in the heart. The principle of faith which he puts within the heart of the sinner. And that faith will live and labour and alone. No doubt it happens. And though it is tried with fire, it is, you see, being unperishable, the fire can't destroy it. No, can't destroy it. And what a mercy it is that this faith can't be destroyed, however hot the fire. Surely we have those two particular cases of it in the Old Testament, whether it be Daniel in the lion's den, a dear man of God, faith helped him through. His faith was indeed tried by fire. It was not a matter of Daniel going round the den of lions. He must go down into the den of lions to be delivered. Those three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they must go into the burning fiery furnace. And what for? To lose their bonds. And to have all those things burned away which bound them. And they shall come out with no smell of fire upon them. He lions and ravens contain. All creatures obey his command. Then let us rejoice in his name and leave all our cares in his hand. You say, I wish I could. So do I, my friends. And there's times when we can. There's times when we can. He kindly to prevent my fears says, leave it all to me. I remember once when an ungodly man railed on me, called me everything but a Christian. But those sweet words came to help me at that trying hour. Say not, my soul, from whence can God relieve thy care? Remember that omnipotence has servants everywhere. So he has, my friends. Yes. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And there'll be times when he give you songs in the night. Songs in the night. If you've ever known what it is to have a song in the night, you've had the sweet earnest of what we also read, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I've often said, and I'll say so again, the longer your weeping night, the more joyful your morning be. Then, hail, ye happy mourners! A strange word, that is it not? to the unbeliever, but not the person that possesses faith. You soon shall meet with comfort sweet. It is the Lord's own promise. Though it be tried with fire. Oh, the many ways in which the Lord, dear people, have tried. Some may be tried in one way, some may be tried in another. But you see, they will stand the trial, they will stand the test. The Lord trieth the righteous. The way of the wicked he turns upside down. But he won't ever turn the way of the righteous upside down. I was much encouraged once when I was in a great trial of faith. I believe it was when I was being prepared for the solemn work of the ministry. And I walked for days under the sentence of death. I used to go out in the morning to my business and under that dreadful temptation, you won't get back home for dinner. But I used to go back home. So when I went back again after dinner, the same temptation, you won't get back home with me. Day after day I had that. And yet, at night, we had been reading those posthumous letters of the late William Huntington. And I used to read in those letters the very things that had been passing through during the day. And I've many a night gone up to bed like another man. And then wake up in the morning, and there was that great cloud over me again. But I remember one thing I read has never left my mind, really. He said this, did dear Huntington, you'll find it if you've got those posthumous letters. He says, the Lord will never cast away a hoping soul as a man casts a stone out of a sling. Oh, how that helped me. How that encouraged me. Tried with fire, yes, but it will be found under praise. Yes, however keen, however cutting, however deep, however solemn and searching, however great the trial of faith may be, my friend, it will issue well. Oh, yes. Verily I know, says the wise man, it shall be well with them that fear God. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well. What a trial of faith that was. With that dear woman who lost her son. Have you ever pictured that dear woman? Have you ever followed her in that journey she took to the man of God? The man of God didn't know quite what had happened, did he? He says he could tell her soul was troubled in her. There was something, but the Lord hadn't shown it to him what it was. And she wouldn't be satisfied with the servant coming. It must be God's servant. Oh, you want to be God's servant. If a man has been made a blessing to you, and you've been brought to cleave to that man, you'll say, well, no one else will do. And that's not resting in the creature when it's like that. It's the work of God to put a man into our hearts or us into another one's heart. The soul of David was knit to the soul of Jonathan. So it was with this poor woman. She was knit to the man of God. She couldn't leave him. He sends his servant on to lay his staff upon the child. But no, the charge is not away. But what does a woman say? I believe she has two kinds, in a sense, two kinds of faith. There are degrees and differences of faith. And at first, she says, as she looked to the future, she says, it shall be well. Have you got such a faith this evening? Are you in the midst of some trial of faith? and you just don't know really how it will issue. But you can say with that dear woman, it shall be well. And that's a God-given faith, just as much as when the dear woman afterwards said, it is well. It is well. And it is a great blessing when we can say, it is well. It is well. Well with them while life endure, and well when corpse die. And it is found unto praise. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be enabled to praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, that lifteth up the waves thereof. They go down to the depths. They go up to the heavens, and they go down, up and down, in and out, is the pathway of the Lord's living family. But it's in and out to find pasture. In and out to find pasture. And if you find pasture, my friend, you won't mind how many ins and outs you have. It'll be the pasture you will be after. That which is winnowed with a shovel and a fan. And you will want to have that. It'll be found under praise. And where the feeblest lamb in Jesus' fold is brought to praise him, he will bring honour and glory to his name. You might say, well, I'm that feeble one. Never mind how feeble you are, my friend. The weakest saint shall win the day, though earth and hell obstruct his way. And I've often said this, and I say so again because I've proved it to be so, the weaker the better. Yes, in themselves, as weak as worms, how can poor believers stand, these who are in possession of living faith, when temptations, foes, and storms press them close on every hand? Weak indeed they feel they are, but they know the throne of grace. They know the throne of grace. Do you? Say, yes, I can't keep away from it. Now, go with you if you're among these people that have this faith and this trial of faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes. You'll have to be often found at the throne of grace, pleading with him for something or other. Sometimes for yourself, sometimes for your loved ones, sometimes for the church of God, sometimes for the servants of God, sometimes for our guilty land and nation. We do appreciate the prayers of God's living family in this England of ours. Often think of that wicked Queen Mary, you know. We understand that she said she dreaded the prayers of John Knox more than army of men, and well she might. And well might all our adversaries dread our prayers, because you see, God will answer prayer when he turns away from the people. He'll turn their way upside down. But he'll bless his people with peace. Peace. May not always feel that peace as you would desire, but it is something you're longing after. Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Praise and honor and glory. Three things that the Lord has seen to, sees to it will be joined together in your experience and mine. For as we're led to praise Him, so we shall honour Him. And as we're led to praise, honour, and honour Him, so we shall glorify Him. What a wonderful thing it is that the Lord causes such poor sinners as we are to glorify Him for the wonders He has wrought. Let us now our praises give, and by sweet experience taught, call upon Him while He lives, while we live. Do not those answers of prayer that He gives us encourage us to go on in prayer? Oh yes, you say, can He have taught me to trust in His name, and thus far have brought me to put me to shame? Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms His good pleasure to help me quite through.